Let me read for us some verses, in fact, five verses out of 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want to read verses 1 through 5. And Brother John, I'm just kind of going to hit the high spots of this, and then we will have, Lord willing, the laying on of hands. In these verses, let me just read what the Scripture has to say. Paul writes, I charge thee, speaking to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, and that word means living, and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. This is for you, John. Preach the word. Be instant in season. In other words, be faithful. In season and out of season, when it's convenient and when it's not. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, lust being plural, shall they heap to themselves, shall they want to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. If you're ever turned away from truth, there's only one thing to be turned to, and that's a fable. Verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Brother John, let me give you the following. First of all, in the text, notice the gravity of your ministry. It would appear that heaven and earth are watching. Paul tells Timothy that God and the Lord Jesus are watching your ministry. And remember, there is a coming judgment. That's the gravity of your ministry. It's kind of heavy. Look at the duty of your ministry in verse 2. Preach, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Preach means to announce it. Reprove means to refute anything that's fault. Correct any misbehavior, and you are preaching to convict and to convince your listener. Rebuke, speak to their conscience, point out the hurt of their deed. It relates to speaking to their hearts. The rebuke is designed to bring an erring person to guilt in order to bring them to repentance. He says, exhort them, challenge their will, encourage them to act. Do it with long suffering. You got to patiently endure. You got to persevere with people. I can tell you, after 35 years in one church, there are certain times and occasions when I think, dear God, I'm grateful you're sovereign, because I've only told these people this 35 years and a few of them haven't heard a word I have said. And that goes with the territory. This was not something that God called us to make us feel good, but our job is to tell the truth and leave the results to Him. He said, do this with long-suffering and doctrine. Doctrine, in this sense, is scriptural teaching. Tell them what the Bible says. Don't be trendy. I read numerous surveys every week, and I'm not opposed to surveys. But when you take a survey and say that now Generation X or Generation Gen or Generation this or Generation that, let me tell you something. Every generation is going to the same hell as the previous generation without Jesus Christ. We still need the basics of the gospel shared to a people in any generation. And however you can do that and stay true to the Word of God is the thing to do. Scriptural teaching, that's what doctrine means. Explain what the Bible says. That's the duty of your ministry. Now, the atmosphere of your ministry is verse 3 and 4. He said, there's going to come a time that people are going to say, John Nitzke, I don't like what you're saying, and I want to heap to myself a teacher who will scratch my ear. I've got an itching ear, and I want somebody to tell me what's going to make me feel good. I remind you that you and I together will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and you will not be given rewards for how well you've made them feel. You will be given rewards for how you have loved them and told them the truth, even when they did not want to hear it. That's the atmosphere of your ministry. Interesting, he says, they will not endure sound doctrine. The word sound comes from a word from which we get our English word hygiene. In other words, that it means to be healthy. And he said, you want to tell them healthy words. You want your people to be healthy and have good spiritual hygiene. Now, that's the atmosphere of your ministry. The seriousness of your ministry is found in verse 5 when he said, watch thou in all things. The word watch means to be sober-minded. Now, when we think of sober, we think don't be drunk, and that word is very closely related, except the sober-mindedness, the watchfulness there, has to do with don't get intoxicated physically nor intellectually. There's some things out there that can intoxicate you intellectually. And at this age in my life, I have watched many a preacher become enamored with a new trick. And before you know it, they left the old paths of redemption, the old message of the gospel, that men are lost and need a Savior, and that Christ is the only Savior, and repentance is the only way. And they've started and desire something new. A very famous television preacher, whose name I won't call, that everyone in the room would recognize, was asked in an interview, what do you have to say regarding the people who say you never mention sin and you seldom ever call for repentance and sometimes you even promise things that do not happen? And he said, well, I feel like my job is to make people feel better. And I found myself talking back to the television and say, no, it's not. Now, our job is to not make people feel worse either. Our job is to tell people, what did God say? And wherein this book speaks, it is God's speaking. And when you get to the place that you don't want to tell people what God said, you need to find something else to do and turn in your certificate, and so do I. That's the seriousness of your ministry. Now, the price of your ministry is in verse 5. Did you see that? Endure affliction. John Johnson spoke to you about that. Endure affliction. It just means be willing to suffer evil. Be willing to take one on the chin. Sometimes we'll do stupid stuff and deserve one on the chin, but many times you will take one on the chin and you are as pure in your motive as the driven snow, but you will be afflicted sometimes by the people closest to you. It is the nature of ministry. And you know, we're even told in some quarters at times, pastors don't get very close to your people because they'll hurt you. Well, I understand why they say that, but you can't love people if you don't get close to them. And as you well know, the closer you get to somebody, if you was in a physical fight, the closer you get to somebody, the quicker you can stick them. You can knife them. But without getting close to people, you can't really love people. And the love of those who are faithful is worth getting stuck by those whose motives were impure. And you thought when you started that everybody was pretty much pure. And you learned along the way, wow, that hurts. I went through an experience one time with trouble. And I had somebody give me Ron Dunn's book, and it's an excellent book, and anything Ron Dunn ever printed was worth is worth reading if you can find copies of it now. And Ron Dunn's book was called Friendly Fire. And I said to a friend of mine, can I just tell you something? And I'm one that loved Ron Dunn. Ron Dunn came to this church and preached. I said, it ain't friendly. Friendly fire, of course, refers to those who in military you end up shooting one of your own soldiers and didn't mean to. And the fire you get from your own kind is not very friendly, but the price of your ministry will be to endure affliction. The objective of your ministry, he tells Timothy, is to do the work of an evangelist. Do you see that in verse 5? That is the objective. You're going to publish the gospel of Christ so that through that gospel, like you said, John Nitschke, you want them to come to Jesus, and all that come to Jesus, we're to try to make followers of, and when that we come into the family, positionally we come in as an adult, but we're not very mature. Just like you can weigh 200 pounds and not be very mature. We come into the family as mature, as in the position of full sons and daughters, but we need to be made mature in that faith as you so well established. That's the objective of your ministry. Last but not least, the devotion of your ministry, he says, last part of verse 5, make full proof of your ministry. Make full proof. What does it mean to make full proof? It means to bring it to full measure. Be all you can be. Do all you can do. Pray all you can pray. and say, "Dear God, whatever doesn't happen in this place, I don't want it to be because I didn't give you my best. He will always give his best, and you and I want to give our best." And you know, the beauty of that, Brother John, is that you don't have to be Brother Wayne, not that you'd ever want to be, or anybody else. We'd all like to have been Adrian Rogers if we could. When he spoke, his voice sounded like God. And we always teased at preacher meetings, said, "Oh my, Dr. Rogers is going to preach, we'll get saved again." And that was, of course, a friendly joke among preachers. But you know, there can't be but one Adrian Rogers, and there can't be but one Charles Stanley, and there can't be but one everybody else. And you know what? There's only one John Nitzke, and he is as unique and special as anybody else. So be what God would have you to be. You can do it. Why? Is it because you're qualified? No, but it's because God qualifies those that he calls and he uses. He specializes in using instruments like us. I suppose in the words of Papa Sam, God specializes in taking crooked sticks and hitting straight licks. So that's what God does with all of us.